So welcome. Good afternoon. This is the workshop for writing your internship cover letter. As you can see, my name is Linda Chikuta. I'm one of the career advisors from CAPS, the Career Planning Service. If you didn't know where we're located, it's just across the street, across the construction, across the street. And I've been doing this workshop for the Arts Internship Office for a number of years. Give you a quick background about myself. I've been at CAPS for more than 10 years. I don't say the number anymore because it makes me feel like a dinosaur. Prior to that, I used to be a recruiter, a headhunter, basically like an HR consultant. So I've been in recruiting, human resources, job search strategy, coaching, career planning for a number of years. So I feel like I'm well educated to educate you on how to get and prepare your best cover letter for your application. So before we get started, since it's a nice small group, I kind of want to know the three of you, or four of you. You don't have to tell me your name, it's okay. I just like to know what you're studying, and if you're going to be applying for an imminent internship opportunity, and if not, what else you might be applying for down the road. So if you wouldn't mind, sir? Yeah?
Well, my name is Simon. I'm studying in, I'm majoring in sociology and psychology, and basically I'm here to write internship or cover letter or perhaps more research, master's, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
excellent.
It. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello. Hi. My name is Nadej, and I'm majoring in anthropology, minoring in social studies and medicine and bio. Mm-hmm. So I'm just here to learn as much as I can because I've had internships, but I'm also looking for future internships. So.
Okay, in what area do you know?
Genetic counseling.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Great. Next.
Yep, I'm Emily. I'm in my last semester here. I'm studying economics and finance. And I've done internships before, but I'm looking for an internship between January and next September before I start my master's.
In what area are you looking for an internship?
Economic development.
Okay, fantastic. And last but not least, hiding over there.
Hi, I'm Ege. I'm in anthropology as well. I'm looking for a summer internship in the area of advertising. And I've had some internships before, but not like a really serious one, so I need a cover letter right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. And most often than not, you do submit a cover letter. You really do. And it would be nice if I just gave you a template and said, fill in the blanks. This is who I am. This is what I want. And please call me. But that's not how it works. Because if you did that, then you'd all be the same and be cookie cutter. And a recruiter or an HR person or a potential supervisor wouldn't be able to distinguish you from all the other applicants. And at the end of the day, this is your marketing brochure. It's your chance to highlight your skill sets and your attributes, your experiences, and your aspirations. So that's basically what we're going to cover today, is the essence of putting a cover letter together. So I'm going to give you a general idea of how to compose one, but I want to give you tips and pieces of advice on how to customize one. And that's really what's important here. And I was saying the same thing yesterday during the CV workshop. It's applying that same theory, so doing that self-assessment of what qualifies you for that internship and how to put it down on paper. Because sometimes it's really easy to say and think and feel, I'm great for this, this is perfect for me, but expressing it in words isn't always so easy. And you have to really captivate your audience. So hopefully at the end of this, you'll be able to do that on your own. That said, we do have career advisors available to go over your applications. That's the bonus part. So we give you all the tools and resources to package your applications, but then you can even come by our office either on drop-ins or with an appointment and have an impartial professional look it over. Because wanted or not, your family, friends, roommates are a little bit too close to you to give you a real solid feedback. I think it's nice when it's somebody who doesn't know you can really interpret the information that they're receiving. So that said, why do you send a cover letter? I think it's pretty obvious. We already mentioned it, or I already mentioned it. It's to sell and market yourself. It's really to focus your application. What you have to understand is when you do submit an application, especially for an advertised position, you're not the only one sending it. So the individual who's receiving them, whether it's the internship office here, it's a human resource person, a coordinator, a potential supervisor, they're looking at hundreds of applications. And they first look at your CV, believe it or not, because it takes about 20 to 30 seconds to go over a CV to see if you have the qualifications that they're looking for. And if it interests them, then they'll spend the time reading the cover letter. So it's your chance to really captivate your audience. They've already liked you. So you have to keep that attention. You have to keep, I'll repeat it again, keep their attention in wanting to know more and more and more about you. So it customizes your CV and it shows interest in the internship or whatever opportunity you're going to be looking for. And rule of thumb is you always send a cover letter. They don't have to specify send a cover letter. I think it's professional, it's respectful, it shows courtesy for the person receiving the application. The only time you don't send one is if they actually say you don't need to send one. Once you get the hang of writing a cover letter, I think it'll be easy for you to customize it for every application that you make. Just so you know, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, stories you want to share along the way, please feel free to do so. I will get you to talk in a little while because we're going to do a little exercise together. But in the interim, by all means, please just put up your hand to ask a question or whatever have you. There are actually different types of cover letters. I don't know if you realize this. And one of them would be invited. Now, what do you think I mean by an invited cover letter? In five. Nobody wants to say. Oh, yay! Yes.
I guess when they just, on the application procedure, they ask you for the cover letter?
Yes, in a sense, because there's an active posting. So you've seen it on their website, the internship office database site, on My Future. There's a live posting. So they're saying, hey, we're looking for someone. Please send me your application. So it's invited. And this is great. This is kind of like the easiest cover letter you could write because there's a job description, there's a list of qualities that they're looking for, and minimum requirements. So this is already giving you an idea of what you need to address. So that would be an invited cover letter. So an uninvited cover letter would be what? Please don't just say the opposite. Well, it pretty much is, right? It is the opposite. So there isn't an actual live posting. It's not sitting on a database. It's you trying to get your foot in the door. The way I like to say is you're fishing for an opportunity. And this is a little bit harder because you're not sure who exactly might be reading it, and you're not sure if there could or would be a potential internship opportunity for you. You don't want to be too narrow in mentioning a position or an exact department if you're open to multiple things. So it's a little tricky, but we're going to address some tips and ways for you to get around that. So that would be an uninvited. And referral is a bit of a combination. Referral means you spoke to somebody, whether it's at a career fair or you went to a conference, perhaps you spoke to a professor or a colleague or somebody else who did an internship, and they say, you know what, I know so-and-so in the organization, maybe you can send them your application, maybe they'll have an opportunity. So now you have a contact who's given you a new contact, so you have a primary contact that gave you a secondary contact, but there's value in using their name. So in other words, the person you would be sending your application to knows the person that referred you. So this has a little bit of a different flavor because you have an in because they're going to read your phishing opportunity because of this referral. But you don't want to be too specific because there's not a live posting at the moment. But so it's a little bit of a different way of writing your email because you have someone's name that you can include. So as it says here, the distinction really between all of these is that opening paragraph. And that opening paragraph, in all honesty, can actually make or break your letter. It sets the tone. It's like any time you make an application, whether you already did that for a particular program or for grad school or for a professional program, that opening paragraph sets the tone. It invites the person to, or entices the person to read more or not read more. Okay? Any questions so far? Is all good? All good. So let's go to that first paragraph. How many of you have a cover letter? You've already written one. How many? Half of you. Okay. And just out of curiosity, could you tell me what would be that standard opening sentence in that first paragraph of your cover letter? Would you be so kind to share?
Well, personally, I've written "To Whom It May Concern" or something opening like that.
Okay, well, that's the salutation. Okay. And then the first sentence of that first paragraph would often be what for you?
Well, explaining why I'm sending this and what are my kind of motivation to...
Okay. Would you happen to know, like, word for word what you've said?
Well, yeah, I have it. I am writing to inform you of my interest in applying for the the scholarship attributed to students who wish to... Anyway, something really formal like that, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. And yourself? Would you happen to know or have it before you?
Yeah, I've got it here. As a student finishing my third year at McGill University, I am looking for an internship for this summer. This was last year. In an economic organizational committee, working primarily in international economic relations and economic development.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And I'm so happy that neither of you used that opening sentence of, "Hi, my name is." Because this is a very staple introduction for some individuals. I think it's very much, you know, high school type, you know, very standard application. This is my CV. It has these structured sections that my teacher told me to do. This is my cover letter. It says, "Hi, my name is, and I want to apply for this job that I saw on this website on this given day." So I'm very happy that you don't have that. Please, if you read anybody's who does, tell them it's time to take it out. You want to be punchy. Yes, it's your standard introducing yourself, telling them why you're sending your application, but I think what's going to set you apart is if you can do this with a wow. And the best way to do this with a wow, in all honesty, is taking out that first sentence, both of you, and making that your subject line. So in a cover letter, and we'll talk about the layout afterwards of what, you know, the letter, the top part should look like and the date and all that, but before the salutation and the opening paragraph, a subject line is fantastic. It's the same thing as an email subject line. So whether you write the word subject colon or RE for regarding colon, it doesn't matter. But what you write there is this sentence, application for blah, blah, blah position, seeking potential opportunity in blah, blah, blah department. And pardon me for the blah, blah, but I want you to fill it in. So the ABC department. So already the reader is in the right mindset of this application. So you don't have to say, no offense, in so many words, what you want. Subject line just took care of it for you. So now you can say something more punchy and powerful. As a third year anthropology McGill student with this experience or that experience, as a past intern in such and such an organization, I possess this quality for your organization, your intern, your internship opportunity, something like that. Okay? And you're going to see Linda Chikuta loves to do that. It's all about being powerful and just wow them right away. So that opening paragraph is not too long, in all honesty. It's probably two sentences, three sentences. You got that introduction part out of the way and why you're sending it out of the way. So now we move forward. Sound good? Do you have a question? Yes?
Would you happen to have a kind of what it looks on paper, like...
Formatting?
Yeah.
I will when we do our little exercise.
Perfect.
Great. Good question, though. I can tell you something, though, a tidbit in advance, and I did this also for the CV workshop. The parameters of your document, especially if you're using Word, so sorry, Mac people, you use narrow margins, so you maximize the space. So it's usually 0.5 all around. And what's really nice is whatever you have used as your style and formatting for your CV when it comes to your demographics, so your name, your address, and your phone number, you duplicate that for your cover letter. So it's like your personalized letterhead. And then you duplicate that again for your list of references. So basically you'll have that at the top, whichever way you like formatting it, put a nice big line across, and then you'll start with your actual cover letter, and you'll see in a little bit a sample of the date and addressing the person appropriately. Okay? So the second paragraph usually is longer and consists, well, second and third, depending on how talkative you are or how much you have to say, usually talks about your qualifications for the internship, and it's matching you with them or them with you. So I know it's tricky because a lot of the times you want to do an internship to gain experience. So you feel like you don't really have anything to offer, because that's the whole reason why you want to do the internship, is so you can gain something to offer someone else for a potential in your potential career path down the road. But you do have stuff to offer. You have a lot of skills. Whether it's the academic skills that you have from the course material, or it's skills that you've obtained in other areas of your life. Because really, you're not just about your education. You're also a product of your other experiences, your summer jobs, your part-time jobs, your extracurriculars, your community involvement, any volunteer work that you did. That has given you a broad range of skills and experiences that you can transfer into this internship, and that you want to tell them is an asset. Now, I think what's really important is that you don't want to repeat your CV. I think this is key. You want to refer to your CV, because in your CV you should have all this, right? You've documented it in the different sections. So you want to refer to it. You want to tell them that you'd be a great intern because of the course, certain courses you took, because of a past internship, because of your summer involvement. You don't need to say, I took this course in second year of my degree in the year, 2013. I have this skill set because of this summer job that I did in 2012 that entailed, these different duties. You don't need to do that. You just need to refer to it. And I'm going to go into a little more detail about that after. But that's what these two paragraphs are all about. And I think what's really important at this point is, and a mistake that I see a lot of students do, is they kind of just go on and on and on. I did this and it gave me that. I did this and it gave me that. You have to still relate it to their values, their mission, their goals, their project, their partnership, something to do with them. It's matchmaking. And with that invited cover letter, this is the easy part, because you have that description that I mentioned before, you have the list of requirements, so you kind of say, well, I am a good communicator as a result of my 2 years in customer service. I would be an asset in this event planning position because of my involvement with such and such a club or organization at McGill. That good? That make sense so far? All right. It's all going to come together, trust me. Any questions? No? Okay. So that fourth and final, or third and final, depending how long your cover letter is, paragraph, is about your thank yous and your follow-ups. And I find here is a lot of the time individuals end up begging. They feel that this is the part where it's like, oh, please, please, please call me. I really look forward to meeting you. I trust that I will be a great asset to your team. And it's a little bit too much. It's great to say, I know I will be an asset to your team and I look forward to hearing from you, but don't make it too lengthy. And here's a tip. Don't use the word think, feel, or believe. Be more assertive. Just state that you know you would be a good member of that organization. You would be a great asset. It's not I think or I feel I would be. That's kind of a side note, sorry. I think it makes your cover letter more powerful, and if you feel that it is over the top for yourself, it can't be. Because if you feel that it is, it won't be. You're not a person who writes that way. It's just clear to the reader that you know you're confident in yourself. You're not over the top. So don't worry about saying it concretely, because I get that a lot from students. Okay? And follow-up plans. I understand every application has its own twist, its own buzzwords, depending on the position, the industry, the organization. So I can't tell you all to say, I will call you next week for an interview, as a follow-up plan in the bottom of your cover letter. I can't tell you all to say, I look forward to hearing from you soon, because I don't know what you're applying for. And I'll give you a clear-cut example. This is like black and white. If you're an individual applying for a sales position, and you wrote at the end, I look forward to hearing from you, I wouldn't be enticed to call you now. You would have had a great bang opening paragraph, awesome experience, great past internships. But the fact that you just said, I look forward to hearing from you, doesn't reflect well on the type of person I want for a sales rep. I need somebody who's more forthright, a go-getter, a little bit on the pushy side. Not somebody who's going to sit back and wait. But if you weren't going for a sales position, this is clearly a very respectful, justifiable way to end your cover letter. And mind you, it doesn't mean you can't call them and follow up, because as a career advisor, I will always tell you to call and follow up. But it's a good way to end it. So you have to think about your own personality and what they're looking for and making sure it's a good fit. So then your thank yous and your follow-up plans are clear-cut at the end and they match you and what you're looking for. Does that make sense? I know I've been in the business kind of like so long, it always makes sense to me. And hopefully I'm conveying that to you. So what to highlight? So this is the essence, the paragraphs 2 and maybe 3 in the middle, the things that you want to highlight. It's the qualities that you possess that illustrate your capabilities. So I know I'm reading it off the slide, but it's exactly what it is. But what it bleeds to is the benefit for you and them. We know it's a benefit to you. It's an internship. The whole point is to train you, teach you, educate you, and hopefully help you make a decision if this is the right path for you. But what's in it for them? In all honesty, structured internships that are offered from organizations from year to year to year has value for them as well. It's not just for you. They'd like to gain what from you? And that's what you need to identify. What is it that you bring to the table that is different than somebody else? What are your skill sets and your experiences that make you a unique individual? Because, no offense, at the end of the day, when you finish your education here, you all get a similar piece of paper that says you've studied at McGill in a particular department from a particular faculty. So it really, if I don't look at your transcript, you're all the same. So if I'm posting an internship and I need an anthropology student, and I have 50 anthropology students and I can't take you all, why would I take you over the other one? So this is really, really important. And if you do a proper self-assessment, that reflection piece on the unique experiences and qualities you possess, this will be so easy for you to write. And the bonus about you spending so much time in writing this customized cover letter to go along with that customized CV I taught you how to put together the other day is you are 3/4 prepared for the interview. Because if, in case you didn't know, most of the time your first interview following an application has to deal with you and your application, okay? Your reflection piece. Why are you a good fit for this position, for this internship? So spending the time now and looking at all the different areas and your experiences and matching it and telling them how you can benefit the organization, the project, whatever have you, is worth it. So in other words, you're going to spend some time on your cover letter. Don't just put it all together, half an hour, hit send, not a good idea. Nor is sending, you know, mass mailings of applications, and all the cover letters are the same except that subject line I taught you to write. I understand that if you're applying for similar internships in similar industries or organizations, there's not going to be a huge change. Not huge, but some. Because as the reader, you want to know it was written for you. Like when I read it, if you come to my office and I check your cover letter, I want to know who I'm pretending to be. And I try to be that person and see it from their view. So the key factors, I think I highlighted a couple of them already, is it needs to sound enthusiastic, it needs to have specifics, but it doesn't need to duplicate your CV. So yes, it is, I was about to say the word love, which I say is completely wrong in a cover letter. It's not that you would love the opportunity. You know, you would look forward to such an opportunity. You believe that this is a great match, and you want to be able to put that in your CV concretely. Your cover letter concretely. You want to pay attention to the presentation. You want to look at the font, the style, How is it formatted? And this is what I was saying we were going to get to. I know the margins are nice and tight. Easy enough to say, do you indent or not indent? I don't know. A lot of people like that block-style paragraph. Indentation is proper grammar. Either way, just to keep it consistent, I think is important. Can't be too long, it can't be too short, it has to have a nice balance. I've already told you about the avoiding words like think, believe, feel. The opening salutation, here's something else for you. There's a number of different ways when you don't know the individual to address. It could be to whom it may concern, it could be dear hiring committee, it could be to human resources, dear sir/madam, there's a lot of different ways. What I can tell you is if you do have a contact name that you address them appropriately, so it's dear, sir, madam, mister, missus, professor, doctor, address them accordingly. Same thing as if this is a referral cover letter and you're saying I was referred to you by so-and-so, you should say if it's Mr., Miss, Mrs., Professor, Doctor, put it into context. I think professionally speaking, you should, if you're writing a referral-based cover letter, that you ensure the person's name is on the same line. I find it's disrespectful, believe it or not, to have someone's name cut off from one side to the next, so don't make sure there's no carriage return in the middle of their name. At the bottom, when you are closing off, avoid the word yours. Yours truly, sincerely yours. You do not actually belong to anyone, so avoid that terminology. Ensure that it's a good representation of you. So no matter who says what, whatever tips of advice I give you or any other advisor or friend gives you, it has to reflect who you are, because they're building an image, an expectation of who you are. And when they meet you, they want to make sure this is a good match, right? So if you present one way on paper and you're completely opposite, then for them it's a bit of a red flag. So don't change that character piece, that personality piece. It's just like I can't give you a template, like I said in the beginning, because I have one way of talking and presenting myself, and you will have your own style. So let that style come out. And of course, proofread. Not all at the same time, the same day. Let it sit for a day and then read it again, perhaps, because we tend to easily overlook some common mistakes. And one common mistake is if you take my advice on writing a subject or regarding line, is to make sure you change that subject or regarding line. Sometimes we get so concentrated on the body of our cover letter, or even in emails, that we forget to change the subject line. And trust me, that's the quickest way to end up in someone's recycle bin, is because you couldn't be bothered to do that. Because then I'll know it wasn't for me. It was for someone else that you kind of decided to send to me too. So now I'm going to get you guys to do a little activity. Are you ready? It's a very simple activity. There's nothing major involved. Is I'm going to give you a cover letter. I'm going to give you the before version of the cover letter. And I would like you to pretend, just like I say when you come to my office, I pretend I'm somebody reading it. I would like you to pretend you are a human resource person. And you have to filter through all these applications and decide who's going to come in for an interview. And the topic, the position that you're recruiting for is very simple. It's a technician-type position. So you don't need to be a specialist, so don't panic. I'm giving you all the title of human resources, but it's general. And I'd like you to look at it, and I'd like you to find at least three areas where this person can improve their cover letter. At the same time, I'm giving you a heads up, I'm also going to ask you your impression of this person. Because like I mentioned before, they have an idea of who you are. They're getting a sense or feel for your character, your personality, and they're, as a result of that, they're deciding whether they want to call you for an interview or not. And so I'd like you to be able to do that. Now, the after version is actually just on the other side, so don't flip it over and cheat, please. now. It's not a long cover letter, so we're going to give you about another 45 seconds. Okay, so do you guys have a couple of ideas? General areas of improvement, yes? I'm hoping so, because I'm going to get you to talk now. So who'd like to share one? Okay.
I guess when he gives his experience, like he should say where he got the experience from, like what previous work experience he has exactly.
Okay. As opposed to just listing all the items?
Yeah. Instead of just his competences, basically.
Okay, great. Yeah. Another area? Section, formatting, anything. Yeah.
Well, basically, you could use a subject line. Also, I'm not quite sure about the dear. Is it too personal yet, or is it all right?
In all honesty, I think it's your preference, your choice. I don't think there's anything wrong with dear. It's just it's a very common way to address someone. You could say to so-and-so. I wouldn't be offended if I read it. However, if you're uncomfortable writing it, then there's that reflection piece of your character, your personality, then don't use the word dear. So it's a good thing to point out. And yes, absolutely, a subject or an RE line would have been perfect, and throw out that sentence which is completely wasted and stale. You know, often if I read an individual's cover letter, I kind of do this with them when I'm reading it. It's just like, it takes me so long to get to the point. So just get to the point. And there I am, punching my fist again. So another area where he can improve. Yes, can you just turn the microphone on? Thanks.
I feel he should be a little more polite when addressing the person, especially in the last lines, I'm available for interviews. It should be, he should use more please, when are you available, more catering to Mr. Amol.
Okay, so keep your microphone on just as a continuum of that. That's very good because this is an overall sense. You're just sensing that he's kind of like cold and curt. So would you say that's a reflection of just his writing style, or did you automatically feel this is what the guy could be like?
This is what he could be like.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I know that's a great point, and that's what I really want to get into after as well, is how we could just read something and automatically get a feel for who the person could be. But let's move forward just with a few more areas of improvement. Anything else? How about the top part, his address? I don't know about you, it looks like 1970s typewriter. I think that's the old style. It's like you have to have it justified to the right, and you have to list everything, and then you go and it's the title. Well, actually, he doesn't have the date. On my version, there's no date. And it's just not that letterhead style that I was talking about that just makes it look so much more professional. Anything else? Okay, so let's talk about your impressions of him. So the formatting we talked a bit to fix, the content could be a little bit more elaborate, he could be a little more courteous, polite, the subject line. Okay, so he's going to compose something better with your recommendations, and we're going to look at the after in a few moments. But tell me, him, besides curt perhaps, or short, or I don't know how to express it exactly, that he's maybe not refined. What else? What other impression do you get of his character or work ethic, maybe?
I don't think he sounds very passionate. It sounds more like he needs a job for the money, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't.
So no enthusiasm,
yeah,
which is really important to demonstrate to a reader. So if you had him next to five other guys, he'd probably be the last on your list. In fact, would you even call him? Would you call him for an interview? No. And you haven't even seen who to compare him with. You know, back to the drawing board, put the posting back up on the website. Yeah, so it's amazing. You know, you guys have no professional training as recruiters, as far as I'm concerned, but you can see how a document can really impact a reader. So now, flip it over, and you could read the after version. So how's this guy sounding now? Mr. James, right? That's his, Mr. James. So is he at the top of your list all of a sudden? Oh, yeah. He's a completely different guy, isn't he? So what do you think of him now? If you read this before the other one, what do you think of his character, his personality, his work ethic? Just pop open your microphones and tell me. Just throw it out there.
I feel he's a lot more driven as a character.
So now he sounds enthusiastic, whereas before he was Mr. Stale Bread.
Well, what I find nicer about the second version is how it highlights the 22 years instead of putting it at the end of the sentence,
like, okay. It's
dragging you for 22 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah? And what do you think of the way he laid out his skill sets in bullets? Did you like that? It's attractive, no? I think so too. I was just about to say, I always get that question, can you do that? You know, because we always feel it has to be in paragraph form. You know what? It works well for him. It could work well for you, depending on what you're applying for and what industry, what area, what type of position. Like if you were applying for something that had to deal, say, with public relations, communications, media, journalism, I wouldn't suggest it because you really want to show off your writing style. But this is a great way to cheat out of having paragraphs blend with each other, and it gives the reader a nice visual. So this is a good balance of a document the way I see it, and it works well for him. And it just shows he's methodical in presenting his information. So to me, it's as if this is a well-rounded guy. I'm going to get him in. He knows what he's capable of doing, and he'd be an asset. Like, I feel like he has a lot to offer me. It's not just me paying him, which would be James before. Any other comments, suggestions, or overall opinions of him? Something that you might like or not like in the cover letter? Because, again, this isn't meant to be a template. This is just meant to be an exercise to show you what an impact your writing could have on the reader.
Yeah, can you actually say I am very excited about this position? Is that not too informal? Or
you know what? It's character personality. I'm not sure if I'd write I'm very excited about the position. I haven't been excited about a position to say it. So, but if I was going for an internship and it was very related to my interest, maybe not necessarily my degree, but it's something I literally am passionate about. I wouldn't write the word passion because that is stale and overused, but that I am passionate about, then I could comfortably say I'm very excited about this opportunity. And to put it into context, it's a technician type position. So I don't know how excited you get about that technician work. However, for him, he is, and why not? But for you, if it doesn't work, that's okay too. Okay, great. So thank you very much for participating in that. I think it gave you a really good idea of, I'm repeating myself again, how powerful the structure and the words that you choose have on the potential, on the reader, and your potential of getting an interview afterwards. In closing, I've left you with a couple of paragraphs that I've extracted from some of the books I've used over the years as far as helping individuals understand that there's no one way to make an application. There's a way of thinking, and a way of approaching it that I can share with you, but it's not that this is guaranteed to give you that internship. You know, just because we help you, we educate you, we review it for you, we can't promise you're going to have that opportunity come to fruition. So please don't forget, CAPS is always there for you. In fact, you pay us to be there for you because we are part of Student Services B, so we're more than happy to see you in our offices, whether it's by appointment or drop-in. And it's not just for your applications, it's not just to review, it's anything and everything that has to do with helping you make the next move after you graduate. And as a point of reference, have you guys read it through? Read them through, yeah? We have these guides and podcasts online. These are our four hot-selling guides, and they're not for sale, actually. They're free, so hot-ticket items, I guess I could say, that have to do with CV, cover letter, interviewing, and networking. And I do believe the Arts Internship Office has already scheduled the interviewing workshop, so heads up to that. And yes, yet again, it will be me doing it. So I thank you very much. I wish you good luck with your applications, and I hope to see you soon. Okay? Great.